really take a bow, Tim Riley. That's Gene. Oh, I'm sorry. Quieter.
It's a good thing my memory goes back that far.
We can't talk to we're slipping into a slip into a Donna Mike thing. And all right, 35 seconds after the hour of noon, it is the month of April in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day, my friends, Romans, countrymen, boys, girls, children of all ages, ladies, gentlemen. This is the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family, right here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. It is 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. It is Thursday. Thank you for coming by. If you want to email today with your comments, your conventions, your clarifications, your whatever, please don't send us any morbid or disturbing links today. Today's show is all in the positive tip. Sunshine.
We're all happy today.
Roses, daisies, happy to be alive. The corn is as high as something or other, and we're all glad to be here. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Today's show, so packed it can barely move. It is so full of content. It's all we can do to roll the stone away and bring it out here for your listening pleasure. Here's what's coming up today. We got a Geek Watch coming up. Actually, I think it's a double Geek Watch, and as part of that, probably not as part of, as an adjunct to that. We have a brand new install by popular demand. People have been asking for this. I've just been too lazy to imagine a man. Picture a man. Too lazy to actually turn on the Xbox. We have a brand new installment of the Xbox Files. Long missed. And we will bring that back later. It is a fresh episode taped last night. Brand new installment of the Xbox Files. That comes up later on today. Jen Lane is going to be here. We will talk about... We sort of gave the punchline to this like weeks ago, but we never did the actual story. Somebody sent us this list. I'm up to my eyeballs in lists. I got a list of lists that I haven't gotten to list on the air yet. I'm Franz List. I'm Listerine. I got this list of the 100 least sexy men, which blah 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 blah. Number one, Gilbert Gottfried. But the others are fantastic. So we're gonna get to that. We'll get to that. I gotta get to that before it just becomes old. I guess if I leave it long enough, it'll sort of decay away and come back and be a new story. But I gotta get to it today. What else? Well, this is the news pile, of course. We have a big birthday shout-out we're going to give today. And today, come hell or high water or aphids, ticks, termites, dust mites, raining toads, come the death of the firstborn male child in every household, doesn't matter. We're going to do this geek thing today because it's a good excuse for me to talk about this gaming system crisis that I'm having. So we'll talk about that. What else? That's it. That's it. There'll be other stuff, but I'm just going to spring it on you. I'm going to lay it out there like so many laying things, and we'll get to those as we progress. By the way, Gary Baumgarten. You know, it's always those two. Roop, I keep straight. Lisa Goddard, I keep straight. In the days of John Bisney and Dick Liano, I keep those guys straight. For me, McCarthy and Baumgarten are just interchangeable somehow. I think it's because everything that is east of the Mississippi, I just don't care about. It's not that I don't care about them, but I'm saying it all blurs together for me. You know what I mean? Except for Lisa Goddard. Because she's, you know, she's all that. And because she has a big crush on me. My point is that at long last, Gary Baumgarten today will talk about United 93, which is that movie he saw last night. That'll be a big pick-me-up for everybody. Like 3 days in a row. But then, the good news is, later on, Jim Roop will be on here and he'll be complaining about stuff. And I know he will. Because they got this whole... Correct me if I'm wrong about it. They got this whole thing where a bunch of angry ne'er-do-wells are going to be marching somewhere trying to close something down.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. They're going to fail, and just fodder for us to ridicule. So Jim Roop will be talking about that later on. Plus your email, your phone calls, and all of that. It's 503-733-2970, or you can email us, rick@rickemerson.com. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who's in the studio keeping things popping along. And so you had, now correct me if I'm wrong, now you had a busy day yesterday. You went, you did the coin thing.
The past 2 days, it's been nutty.
Well, and then you came here, and then you had to go hang out with Byron Beck some more from the Willamette, right? Isn't that the thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you got the Candidates Gone Wild thing coming up?
Yeah, the day before, went to PSU and, like, spoke on this media panel.
Did you talk?
I felt very grown up.
Was it for a media class? Was it for students?
No, it was like media day or something. So,
but for young skulls full of mush who were thinking about going in.
I warned them.
The immature children who work at public radio.
End of it.
No, there are a bunch of people. There's like a woman from KBOO and there was a...
What? Who?
The hippie face.
Yeah, some stinking woman with underarm hair. So is this for children who are?
I'd like to go into television or radio, Miss Dillon. What can you tell me about
it? It was a panel on independent versus corporate media. Of course, everybody else was independent, and I had to be the corporate one.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Welcome to being the person that all the idiot dreadheads hate.
Seriously, I'm like, it's my fault that, you know, that you guys don't want to pay me and this company will?
Oh, please. Well,
sorry.
Stupid independent. Look, like, not my fault your ass can't get a job, okay? I'm an independent. Independent means no one will hire you. That's what that means.
You hear somebody's
talking about, I'm in the indie media. That means it means you are not good enough to be paid by anyone. That's what that means.
Tonight we have the dress rehearsal, though, which I'm a little nervous about.
I had to do this panel, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, something, for my pal, Tim Westergren, who's from a company called Pandora. You know, this is like an online music kind of a thing.
Yeah, that thing you love.
And they're part of the Music Genome Project, which actually is really cool, where they're trying to, long story short, they're trying to do this scientific application where they discover what makes certain songs interesting to certain people, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so I went and spoke on this panel, and again, it's like all of these guys lined up who hate anything that has the word corporate attached to it, and then like me, recently hired by CBS Radio. And it's, you know, and they introduced me to Rick Emerson from CBS Radio, and of course the idiot tie-dye brigade just starts hissing at me. It's all you can do not to just go down there and just kick their teeth in.
Do they realize that Kink is owned by CBS Radio?
No,
too?
They don't. No,
yeah,
they're all like,
nobody ever realizes that.
We love indie radio stations like Kink, and then I always have to roll out that, you know, CBS Radio, which is one of the largest, CBS, which is one of the largest companies in the history of the planet, owns Kink. I always have to pull out that card on people.
You totally should. They get high and mighty about it.
Yeah. You totally want to walk down to the front row and just get all great Santini on their asses. Well, whatever. Anyway, so that was Sarah's day. We'll talk more about it. She's got the Candidates Gone Wild thing coming up on Monday. At the City Desk, ladies and gentlemen, working on the following stories for your edification. A man who is truly independent, Tim Riley.
Well, the head of the old LCC resigns following a DUI arrest.
No! Really? Who?
Yeah?
Who?
Teresa Kaiser. I called you about this morning.
When did you call me about this? Was that you calling me at like 7?
Yeah, I was so excited.
I wasn't going to answer that.
I spent the entire morning calling.
He looks very projected in this thing.
No, my phone said the undisclosed number, and I figured bill collector.
I gave Coyne that breaking story just to let you know.
Fantastic. That's part of the new spirit, the new morning of the hello with the Northwest.
And Americans can't decide who they dislike more, illegal aliens or oil company executives. Kelsey Grammer cautions lovers to stop making videos of their bedroom antics. And we have a brand new sex dungeon story.
Okay. Fantastic. Nothing better than Tim Riley saying sex dungeon.
You don't hear that from the indie media, do you?
No, you don't.
It takes us paid corporate types to come up with stories.
That's what I'm talking. They're too busy.
Those of us who use deodorant and shower daily, comb our hair and change our socks.
Those of us who don't have to pick the nits out of our hair. All right, 503-733-2970, and we'll talk. We'll do the Xbox files later on. Like the third night in a row, I've tried to get to bed early. Last night, I had all my work done. By 10:30, because like you, I'm an obsessive compulsive type, as everybody knows, and I got this whole bedtime ritual that I do. I'm like a fifth grader. I lay out my clothes for the next day. I make my lunch for the next day. I got a whole thing where I lay out, like, I take the multivitamin crap stuff in the morning. You know, here, take this. It's cod oil or whatever it is. I lay out all my breakfast stuff for the next day. I gotta take the dog out. I have a whole obsessive compulsive checklist of things I do every night, and it takes like a good 55 minutes. Because I gotta do everything just so, because I'm all crazy and whatnot. But normally I get done by 12:30, go to bed, no sleep at all. Last night, done at like 10:30, and I'm thinking, you know, this is it. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to get some good rest, and then no. And then no, I got sucked into this the horrible, fantastic. I got this new game for the Xbox, and it's like this unholy, addictive demon of a video game. It's this game called Black. And you all, if you played it out there, if you guys have played Black for the Xbox, and I think they have it for the PlayStation too, it's just unreal how great this game is. And I try to go to bed. I tried to tear myself away from its tentacle-like clutches. But no, like a many-headed electronic hydra, it just kept coming after me. Kept me there. Kept me glued to the couch. It's just unreal. So we'll talk about it later as part of the Xbox files. And also Jen Lane, et cetera, et cetera. Plus a clergy watch. Let's, without any further ado, get to your personal savior at the City Desk. It's Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. The head of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission has resigned, that after being busted for drunk driving. Now, Terry Kaiser was bagged near the Ross Island Bridge over the weekend, so she wrote an email to her staff.
I am a big, fat hypocrite.
Here it is. Dear OLCC staff, as you may know, I am off for the next 2 weeks on a family medical leave and want to tell you about a very personal matter. Due to circumstances that I deeply regret, I am resigning as the executive director of the commission. Well, I'll return, sure you will. May 15th, 2006, to tie up some loose ends, clean out my
Tie up some loose ends. Yeah, put things in box, walk out door. Shame coworkers.
And say my goodbyes at that time.
There will be no goodbyes. Everybody's going to coordinate it so they're gone. No one wants to see you. No one will be talking to you again. You are now walking alone in the jungle, bereft of friends or companionship.
Although my departure is abrupt, I am confident that the extraordinary work of outstanding employees of the commission will move forward. Some of you... Oh, you are some of the finest people I have ever worked with.
That's what everybody thinks.
I know you will continue to soar long after I have moved on. Sincerely, Teresa.
And so explain exactly the nature of what happened to the woman who heads the Oregon Liquor Control Commission?
She was arrested Saturday night near the Ross Island Bridge for DUI.
So, really, the irony here is she is unable to control her liquor.
Yes.
That's really the upshot of this entire thing.
She's kind of like the un-OLCC.
Yes, well, you know, that's too bad, because I know that everyone loves that organization. I know that everyone enjoys dealing with them. I know that they are in no way an anachronistic throwback.
There's a very sad photo of that lady.
I got somebody... Now, here's the thing. Look at those eyes. I'm a big crazy woman. That's what these say. You know, I really have to say that when one looks at this mugshot of Teresa Kaiser from the OLCC... Mm-hmm. Really, the overwhelming thought that comes to mind is, nasty, filthy hobbits just takes it from us. That's really it, man. I don't have it posted on my website. But I would encourage you to go to coin.com, K-O-I-N. Go to coin.com.
There's to the point.
Look at this story about Teresa Kaiser being arrested near the Ross Island Bridge. And I just want you to insert sort of... Just insert in your head just sort of a whole, tricksy, stupid hobbitess. She's got these huge bags under her eyes, man. She's like a Samsonite bags. That's crazy.
Well, she's been up on Powell Boulevard, more than likely.
She
might be even in your neighborhood.
Oh, that would not surprise me. I was actually sent this mugshot by several people this morning because they know how we love mugshots, police sketches, whatever. I was actually sent this mugshot by several people who didn't even know who she was. They only sent it to me. They're like, look at this hideous, crazy devil woman. They didn't even know who she was. So the mugshot itself is really worth 1,000 words. She's got a tiny little pig nose, too. All right, well...
Well, that can be fixed. You get that one. That done.
Yeah, you'll have us to see. You'll have lots of time. You use those benefits while you got them.
Washington State wildlife officials are setting traps for a coyote that nipped two small boys in the Seattle suburb.
A what?
A coyote.
The Marty Robbins?
Coyote?
Okay, fine, okay.
Anyway, 4-year-old Jacob Town was bitten on the posterior last evening while playing in his front yard while his mother was working nearby.
He was bitten where?
In the posterior.
Okay. Thank you.
An 18-month-old Tristan Beck was nipped in the ear and scalped as he played with his brother and the
nipped
coyote.
Nipped in the... Tristan Beck. How old is he?
18 months.
Kind of a...
Right across his posterior.
Where did you get that?
We've had that.
I thought it was gone.
No, we put that in before we started the show a long time ago. You were... Maybe you weren't in the room.
I wasn't in the room. I thought that was gone forever.
That's what happens when you leave the room.
His posterior.
I'm so happy.
It's Christmas, Rick Emerson.
I'm so happy. Oh, that's fantastic. Richard Quest, fantastic. I mean, I wish we still had the out, gone, sack, fire. But you know what? But this is the gold. Brit 6 is what that's called.
Yep. That's what it's under now. We explained that to you when we put it in.
I wasn't there.
I think you were.
I was high. I don't know what I was. That's fantastic. My whole, you know what it is? It's like a huge weight that I didn't even know was on my shoulders has been lifted.
Well, this coyote.
Where did it? Hold on, wait, just one more time. Wait, it bit him, Sarah. Where did the coyote? Where did the coyote bite him?
We're gonna do this
right across his posterior.
Yes, that's fantastic. All right.
Well, this coyote has bitten at least 5 other people in the past month. I think it's the same one.
He's a coyote. What are you gonna do? You know what? You know what? Always. You know what sucks? We should just do a whole bit on the show called "You Know What Sucks." You know what sucks in this case? I'm not an animal rights guy, as you know. Screw him. I don't care. Animals, children, doesn't matter.
How's your poodle doing?
My poodle is fine. I care about my poodle. That is, my poodle he represents the sum total of all my care for animals. My hedgehogs are all dead.
That's reasonable.
So, you know, it's like my hedgehogs are dead, so I don't have to care about them anymore. It's just the dog. And I care a little bit about Sarah's dog and about McGee. But that's it. Dogs related to the Rick Emerson Show. That's it. Those are the only animals I care about. My point is this. I'm not an animal rights guy, but it always makes me a little angry when they euthanize an animal that's just doing what animals do. You know what I mean? It's like I saw some story the other day about some guy. He's golfing like an idiot in Florida. Hits his ball into a marsh. You can already see this. Hits his ball into a marsh. I'll go into the marsh and get out the ball. What exactly? Sarah's making the chomping Pac-Man with her hand. Exactly. Alligator comes up. Bam. Off goes the arm. Guy gets what's coming to him. You're a moron, you lose an arm. And so what do? They go and they catch the alligator, and then they kill it. Why? No reason. You go into the marsh, alligators are going to kill you. It's what they do. They're put here to weed out the poor, weak, and stupid. So, you know, and this coyote, what is it? Has it killed someone?
Coyote.
Not yet.
Coyote?
The coyote has bitten 5 people, and they think it's the same one.
I'm sorry. The correct answer was coyote. Well, whatever. I'm sorry. Well, anyway, there you go.
Well, police are investigating. This is our first Bank of Soundbites. Okay. Police are investigating a case of gasoline theft at a Baltimore service station. Somebody used a master key to reprogram a gas pump at the BP station and stole 900 gallons of fuel.
This is where? This is Baltimore?
Baltimore, yeah.
In Maryland?
Yeah, we're trying to teach people around the world.
Oh, no, this is the point where Delaney's out there yelling that it's Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Yep. Yeah.
The thief either filled up his own tanker or let drivers pump gas for cash and kept the money.
Good for him.
Motorist Michael Swan says he's not surprised by this theft.
Do it.
Everybody trying to think of things every time. This is amazing what people do nowadays.
What was the first half of that?
Everybody trying to think of things every time. This is amazing what people do nowadays.
Everybody trying to think up things every time. Well, all right. Well, that's
one of those Baltimore accents.
That is true. No, I didn't realize that I was pronouncing it wrong. I want to sound like I know things. And Delaine, Sarah's friend, who is from Baltimore, she pulled me aside and she said, no, you got to replace the T with a D. And then I watched many episodes of Homicide: Life on the Street, and I realized that is in fact how you say it. So now I pride myself in being able to use Baltimore lingo.
It's becoming more of a murderous city than Detroit now.
Baltimore's the worst place on earth. Is she born there? How long did she live there?
Delaine's a Navy brat like me. She's moved around everywhere.
Baltimore's the worst place on earth. I've never known anybody who's been there, passed through there, lived there, who said anything other than it sucks.
That's Baltimore vacation.
Sucks more than anything. Good seafood, bad murder rate. So, yeah, don't go there, kids. I almost took a job in Baltimore at one point. I am glad I did not.
Well, ExxonMobil has posted its biggest first quarter profit ever as gas prices take a toll on American wallet.
Take a toll.
Here's ExxonMobil Vice President of Investor Relations, Harry Hubble. Henry Hubble.
Henry Hubble.
He lays out the big numbers for us.
ExxonMobil's first quarter net income and normalized earnings were $8.4 billion, or $1.37 per share. This was a record first quarter and represents an increase of $1 billion versus the first quarter of 2005 normalized earnings.
You know, when the revolution comes, those guys are going to be the first against the wall. I'm telling you right now. I'm not saying that I condone that kind of behavior.
No.
But I'm just saying when
people follow the shining path.
When the proletariat, when, as Mao would say, a permanent revolution is put in place, there's certain people who are on the very, very short list to be dealt with, and those guys are at the top.
Well, Henry Hubble points to a milestone achievement by the company involving Africa.
In late March, production started up from the world-class Erha deepwater development. located approximately 60 miles offshore Nigeria in 3,900 feet of water. AirHop production is expected to ramp up to 150,000 barrels of oil per day by the third quarter.
Is this? Are we listening to a computer? Is this an actual human?
That's
or is
Henry
this,
Hubble.
Like the, it's not the Accountobot 6000 or something?
It sounds like when you listen to Russian shortwave radio and they try to speak English.
Yeah, or the or you know what else this is?
In late March, production started up.
This is the EBS test. This is what the EAS test sounds like. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Or when you hear that, what is that thing that comes over about the...
In late March.
We are issuing flash flood warnings for... That's exactly what you said, that wooden like radio delivery, the guy who gives you the important news.
That was Henry Hubble.
All right, well...
Meanwhile...
He'll get his.
Cynthia McKinney's back. She's trying to get in good stead with us now.
Cynthia McKinney, who the last time we checked hit the guy with a closed fist.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, she's speaking out against the oil people.
Better policy is possible,
I'll hit you.
But we won't get it from this administration of oil barons.
Unless they get slapped.
Yeah, we should just send her to... We should do a whole bit where we just send her to punch people that we don't like.
Here are more whiny people. Some senators in both parties want to abolish FEMA. Here is Joe Lieberman pointing his finger.
Failures of leadership and government cost lives and multiplied... The anguish of the storm survivors.
All right. I keep...
Don't blow your nose.
I keep forgetting to... I keep forgetting to do this myself. Someone out there, please, for the love of God and all that is holy, please find, preferably in wave format, but I'll take MP3, someone send me some Dr. Sigmund Zoidberg. Zoidberg sound. If you got this, somebody out there, I keep forgetting to go through my the Futurama DVD collection and pull Zoidberg noise. Find me some Zoidberg. Send me Zoidberg. Give me Zoidberg. I sent that to Rick at RickEmerson.com.
Failures of leadership
right.
and government
Robot.
Cost lives and multiplied the anguish of the storm survivors.
Once again, the sandwich portfolio. All right. So there you go. There's Joseph Lieberman who will never advance past his current station in life.
Well, let's see who hates Condoleezza Rice today.
Me.
Bulgarians do. Thousands of Bulgarians came out in that country as Condoleezza Rice took a tour for some reason. Many said no to U.S. bases in Bulgaria. Others said U.S. out. Apparently there's some oil over there.
I don't even know where Bulgaria is.
Bulgaria is next to Albania.
No idea.
Albania is across from Italy.
Doesn't help me at all.
It's one of those places where nobody goes.
Okay.
Everybody's got a gun. Everybody's trying to keep you up for whatever reason. They think you're trying to take over Bulgaria. Why would you?
Everybody's just in the middle of a loot.
Yep.
Okay.
It's where donkey carts only have one wheel. And your grandmother's holding up the other end of the cart. So it's not to strain the donkey too much. That's daily life in Bulgaria.
This slice of life's rich pageant has been brought to you by Tim Riley.
A little National Geographic tour.
Really? I mean, if I got to tell you, if geography lessons and social studies classes had been done by this show when I was in school, I might have actually paid attention and learned something.
There you go. That's more than you've ever heard about Bulgaria.
And it's true. Kids, I know that we've got kids listening to us in high school. There you go. That's it. Ignore everything your teachers say. Just listen to us. Kill. All right. Here's Tim Riley. Are we breaking?
Oh,
I'm
let's
sorry.
More Bulgarian adventures following this commercial break.
Sarah's just interrupting. No. Breaking now.
All right. No, I laughed.
It was. It was amusing.
That was very funny.
All right. 503-733-2970. Coming up, CM radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. Going to be talking about the United 93 film, which I guess you saw last night. Jim Roop coming up later on. Jen Lane, 100 Least Sexy Men on the Planet. Geek Test. All of that. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there on Johnson 970. This is real. You're not making this up.
No, it's real.
Okay. No. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. We're going to talk to Gary Baumgarten here in just a moment. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, Jen Lane will be here. We'll take the geek test. We have another installment of the Xbox Files. Tim Riley just handed this to me. Okay, this is... Is that my computer?
It wasn't mine.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Somebody sent me a Zoidberg thing, and it just started playing. This is why Coin is lagging behind, Sarah. Because unlike Fox 12, they're not handling this burning issue tonight. I swear to God, this is the headline.
It's true.
Tonight, Fox 12, Oregon... Toilet water versus ice water, tonight at 10.
The new reporter probably has to go out and drink that. Instead of going to... They don't have snow or rain over in Coattail this time of the year.
Listen, there's nothing obvious they can, like, point to happening in the sky right now. So listen to this. This is the actual tease here. You drink it, .. But what's in the water at local restaurants? The Fox 12 investigators go undercover. Listen to it now. Here, listen for the guarantees...
Yeah.
They found a local place where the ice water is dirtier than the toilet water.
I'll take two glasses.
Don't miss this dirty dining investigation tonight on the 10 o'clock news.
Now, if the new anchor over at Coin wanted to endear himself to the Northwest audience,
yeah,
he would go out and
drink
the same
toilet
thing.
Water?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
They got the new guy with the girl's name, hey, Lisa or Lynn or whatever.
All right, so there you go. Okay. Okay. Do we have it? Can you turn my computer up? Okay.
It's fin fungus.
I think that's a Zoidberg thing, but I'm unclear about it. I'll have to check it.
It's fin fungus.
You're right. My stink gland is weak.
Really, it's the fidelity leaves something to be desired in terms of, well, whatever. It's 503-733. So, there you go. Toilet water, ice water, tonight at 10. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Manhattan.
I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City. I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City.
Sure. Joining us now from New York City, our good friend CNN radio correspondent, Gary Baumgarten. How are you, sir?
Yo, pretty good. How are you?
My friend, I am rolling along, doing this program as only I can do it, doing the work I know I can do, playing the game I know I can play, giving 150%.
There you go.
All right. Hey, so now we've been talking about this film, United 93, and we've been leading up to, because the premiere was last night, or 2 nights ago, and then you actually saw this film last night, finally.
Right.
And so what is the Gary Baumgarten take on United 93?
I think it's going to be different than what you're going to hear from anybody else, actually. The film, obviously, because, you know, the title portrays, it's about the United 93. But that part of the film didn't really interest me as much because it was based on conjecture, speculation, putting together what evidence they had from the telephone conversations and the the cockpit recorders. But we don't know anything about the interactions between the hijackers and the people on the plane.
Well,
we don't know exactly what happened because there are no survivors.
I mean, they're just making stuff up, basically, in this film, right?
They're trying to keep it as close to what they believe happened as possible. But the dialogue, no, we have no idea who got stabbed first and who made the decision to do what and all that kind of stuff. But I will tell you that I was absolutely fascinated... their depiction of what the FAA went through and the military went through trying to decide how to respond to this. And I think that was probably very close to the reality of the situation because the head FAA guy in the movie actually played himself. And the movie was so well researched that I got to believe that that was a fair depiction. And it was obvious that at first they had trouble wrapping their minds around what was going on.
Sure.
As the, you know, first one hijacking, the first one in decades in the United States, then two, then three, then four. And then trying to coordinate with the military and then getting the military and the military trying to get permission. The first two planes, the ones that hit the Twin Towers, there was no way, according to the timeline that was shown in the film,
right,
they could have intercepted. But the other two planes, when they recognized that hijacked planes were heading to Washington and having the knowledge of what happened here in New York City, you know, there was discussion about should we intercept the planes? What are the rules of engagement?
And intercept,
they never got that.
Intercept is kind of code for should we shoot them down, right?
Well, you know what? In the case of one of the planes, they might have shot it down. In the case of the other, they might have rammed it because they had two F-16s turning and burning from Selfridge Air National Guard Base in Michigan, but they were unarmed. So they were actually contemplating ordering these guys to, you know, it would have been a suicide mission.
Damn.
But slamming into the plane to bring it down.
I had no idea. In this film, United 93, they do. So it doesn't all take place on the plane. They do show a lot of what was going on the ground then.
Oh, it's just riveting. And the worst part for me, and I think for a lot of the people in the audience here in New York, you know, they lost track of the first plane and
sure.
then it crashes into the North Tower. And then they lose track of the second plane, and they have a scene where they're in the air traffic tower in Newark International Airport, which
right.
is right across the Hudson. You used to have a beautiful view from there of the World Trade Center. And they say, there it is, there it is. And then you see the real footage of the plane slamming into the tower.
So is this they obviously can't expect this is going to be like some box office bonanza. But I mean, it sounds like it is going to be a thing that sort of makes the people are going to want to see that it is.
I think some people will want to see it. I think other people, however, Rick, aren't ready to, and may never be ready to see a film such as this.
Well, I think it is sort of a binary proposition. I think it's either a film I want to see this because it's, you know, it's historic and it's replaying significance, or you just sort of immediately go, no, don't need to put it in my head, you know, so.
It's a tough film to see, but some people I think will feel like they have to see it. Some people will wish that they hadn't.
Right.
And, you know, there may be some people that can't stay throughout the entire film because of the images. They're just such a reminder of what happened here.
And it does, I think it opens Friday. I'm not sure if it opens everywhere, but I believe it opens, starts
it opens
opening
Friday, yeah.
Oh, Friday. All right, Gary Baumgarten in New York. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. Gary Baumgarten in New York City. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Don't forget, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio will be here tomorrow, and we're going to talk about the 10 most anticipated films of the summer. That's coming up. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Let's do the Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch for Thursday.
This high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
There it does.
EA Canada QB details popular pigskin franchise's debut for Nintendo's new console.
With new
controller, popular football series won't be just about pushing buttons. Exec says EA Rev games won't have straight ports. What the hell am I talking about?
Was that your Winchell? That was your Walter Winchell right there?
Yep, when you don't know what you're talking about, just read the copy in front of you.
Just
eventually
read...
the sentence will end.
Just totally read it. You pay no attention to pronunciation.
No.
Just power your way on through it.
Absolutely.
Plow through it like it was
Iowa one long paragraph.
Cornfield. That totally sounded like a variety sort of, you know, Nick's tricks, picks to, you know, to flicks, wicks, you know, or whatever. Just some crap to make any sense to anybody. Yeah.
And I got a long way to go here. Here we go.
Okay.
Electronic Arts hasn't unveiled its full lineup of games for next month's Electronic Entertainment Expo yet, but one title that the publisher has confirmed will make its debut at the show in playable demo form is that of flagship franchise and a new console. The ever-popular Madden franchise gets the call for Nintendo's next-gen console and is tentatively entitled Madden Revolution.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
I need to take a breath here. It's important to note that the game isn't simply titled Madden NFL 2007 for the Revolution. No, that's because no gamer has seen a Madden quite like this one. Now, for the first time in many years, because we're so far from finishing this story, development on a major console version of EA's marquee franchise football series is being taken outside the doors of the company's Orlando-based EA Tiburon studio. The game is instead being...
It's like reading phonetic Spanish. You just have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like all these millions of people you see protesting, screaming. We won't understand a word they're saying, so it really doesn't matter. They can scream at the top of their lungs. We don't care.
Let's be sure to note that's a Jim Rip later. So here's the thing about Madden. So Madden is this hugely popular football game for Xbox and I think for PS, whatever they PS 12.
Oh, yeah, PS 12.
Whatever they have. And Electronic Arts is, of course, a huge video game manufacturer. They're actually the ones who made this black game that I've been so heavily addicted to for the
past
week.
That's only for African Americans or can anyone play?
Yes. Yes, it's all. Insert joke about a game called Black here. So Electronic Arts makes this. Now, am I, of course, I'm asking a room full of people to know. I'm not much of a sports games guy, but I think, didn't Justin play Madden?
Say yes.
Yeah, he played a lot of games.
Is that why he's your ex-boyfriend? Listen to that just sort of icy cold tone. Yes, he played a lot of Xbox.
I know, once the video games and the gym started to take up a lot of time, that was when it went south.
Didn't you tell me, now is this right, did you tell me that you frowned on Justin, your ex, getting a video game system, and so it was like when you broke up, that was like the first thing he did?
Yep.
Yeah. Dumb stupid Sarah, dumb stupid, I play video games, stupid girls, let's go do leg lifts, Kyle, you know, and then just like right there in front of the Madden. But, which is fine. I mean, look, I do the same thing. But I believe, although I'm not certain about this, I'm pretty sure that they do a new Madden game every single year. I don't know if I'm wrong about that or not.
I think you're right.
But I think they do. Thank you, Tim. It's a 50-50 proposition, I guess. Because Don Geronimo was, you know, he's a huge Madden player. And I used to hear him talking about the Madden game, which is amazing because it's like all the other franchises, like Quake and Halo and all those. It's like 4 years between games. So if they really turn around a new Madden game every season, that's fantastically impressive, is what it is.
Part two.
Okay.
I think you paraphrased the rest of the story quite well, so it's time to move along to the next one.
Okay.
This is entitled Microsoft Retorts with New IE7. Microsoft has launched a refurbished version of Internet Explorer IE7, retorting to the various allegations regarding the earlier version's vulnerability to malicious programs like viruses and worms to other nasty tactics of hackers. Okay, that's going well. According to reports, the vulnerability of IE7 has been the main cause behind users shifting loyalties to alternative browsers.
And also, it's a big, cumbersome, bulky, bloated whale of a program that runs poorly. So this will be yet another version of Internet Explorer that I cannot use, that I can eschew in favor of Mozilla Firefox, which is the browser for me, which is why it's the browser for anyone who values the individual.
Now, IE7 Beta 2, which Microsoft will release both as a standalone browser and as an integrated component of Windows Vista, includes a number of new features and functionalities, including tab browsing, advanced printing, integrated RSS feed support, anti-phishing, and other security-focused enhancements. Also, more standard appearance, CSS support. Ask for it by name.
No idea. There's like three people out there that even know what the hell we're talking about.
That's very educational.
503-733-2970. That's your Geek Watch, ladies and gentlemen, for Thursday. I
grab Thor's hammer by the sons of Warband. I shall avenge you.
Max. Keep plowing through.
Loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
I know we're out of the Geek Watch, but I tell you that that is what not only the, what we use here, but it's what we use at home too. Mozilla Firefox, which is fantastic. Well, you're a Mac person. It doesn't come with some weird.
I have a laptop too.
Yeah, but I mean, but you use some weird proprietary Mac browser, right?
No, I don't. I do use what you just said.
Firefox?
Yes.
Yeah, Firefox is a fantastic browser, and I'm not getting paid to say that. It really is good. It's got the tabbed browsing. It's got the add the feeder. It's got all of that. It's more stable. It doesn't take like 15 minutes to load a page the way that Internet Explorer does. I mean, and I'm not anti-Microsoft. I'm not like one of those dirty, stinking hippie types that hates, you know, everything that's corporate and whatever. It's just Internet Explorer is just a bad browser. It runs poorly. So there you go. Okay, here's Tim Riley.
And now here's something we can all understand. Kelsey Grammer tells lovers not to make sex tapes.
Okay.
Kelsey is urging lusty lovers to keep their sex ploits to themselves.
Why? Okay, first of all, sex ploits is a dumb word. Second of all, in what possible discussion would have been happening anywhere where Kelsey Grammer would have been talking about sex tapes?
Well, the actor sued to stop a past sex tape from hitting the internet about him.
You know, he looks, you know who he looks like? Kelsey Grammer looks like Jim Cramer. I'm Jim Cramer, the Real Money guy from 11 to Noon right here. He, you look at Jim Cramer, and especially the photos from like last year where he had that fringy hair. He has the Picard, as I call it. It's like the Siri with the fringe on top, but it's like the head with the no hair on top and then just the fringe. When it's sort of ragged looking and sort of wild like it was last year, he looks a lot like Kelsey Grammer. Just word to the wise there.
Well, he says, if you're an old slob with a video camera, you should realize that you shouldn't be using it. You throw the tape in the back of your closet until your old girlfriend remembers it's there, and then, well, it's too bad for you.
I saw the best column. It was in the Savage Love column. It was this week, last week. There was the most interesting question, where this guy, I don't know, I'm not sure I phrased this correctly. This is the Dan Savage column, which we're all big fans of. And a guy had emailed in because he's like 20 now, 22, something like that. See, you know, we're talking, and I'm not going to get back onto the MySpace thing, but you know, we're talking yesterday about MySpace and about the kids and all of their kooky technology.
Is this a story about somebody who's still alive?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes. There are no dead people in this story. We'll get to that later. But the kids who are coming of age in the era of MySpace and instant messaging and the cell phone cameras, you're going to start seeing more and more sort of issues like this where the guy and his girlfriend are like 22 and 20 right now. Mm-hmm. But when they were teenagers, which was only a few years ago, like 7, 8 years ago, he was like 16 and she was 14 and they made a bunch of like sex tapes of themselves. What? Oh, yeah, we're all horrified. We're all shocked.
I guess it is the age of technology.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I didn't have a video camera. They were all like the size of a car anyway. But, what was my point? So they were like 16 and 14, doing what teenage couples do, having sex. And so they filmed it. And his question was, because he had all the copies, and she contacted him. She was like, hey, do you remember when we were 15 and we filmed ourselves having sex in your parents, you know, on your parents' floor?
I'm going to play that at your wedding reception.
Seriously. The New York Times has called me. No, but she's like, can I have a copy of it? Because, you know, memories, you know. And his question was, we were both teenagers. We were both underage. We were both consenting. Is it kiddie porn and can I be put in prison for it?
Yes.
And the answer was yes.
Yes.
That way, well, I mean, which, you know, I don't know. I don't, not like.
That is the law.
Let's be clear about this. It's not like it's an issue that ever is applicable to my life, but who knows what's kiddie porn and what's not. But that was the whole question. It was like, if you're filming yourself having sex underage, like, is it kiddie porn? And that would, Dan Savage, like, yes, you will go to a prison. Don't burn it. Destroy it now. Get rid of it. So, word to the wise, kids. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Rapper Snoop the Dogg and five associates have reportedly been arrested after a fracas at Heathrow Airport.
I believe that's a fracas.
Whatever it is. That resulted in minor injuries to 7 police officers. A news agency reported that members of the star's entourage threw bottles of whiskey and argued with staff at a duty-free shop after being refused entry to a first-class lounge. London's Metropolitan Police said officers were called to reports of a disturbance involving 30 people in the business lounge. When police told the group they would not be allowed to board their flight, a number of the group became abusive and pushed the cops. 6 men were arrested and spent the night at London police stations. Police did not name the men, but all were U.S. citizens in their 30s. Snoop is due to perform in South Africa today.
All right. I thought people didn't play South Africa. Or is that only in the 80s?
That was the 80s.
Was that now? It's okay to play?
When Nelson Mandela was in jail.
It's okay to play Sun City now?
I guess it is.
I don't know. Doesn't matter. I don't even really know where it is.
It's near Bulgaria.
Okay.
Fred Meyer is reassessing its breastfeeding policy after an incident at a Portland store.
Attention, Sarah Dillon.
Chris Musser said she was breastfeeding her newborn near the checkout line at the Gateway Fred Meyer store, and the store director asked her to cover up her bosoms because of customer complaints.
So she was just hanging it out?
It's a natural part of life, Sarah.
Not in Fred Meyer.
It's part of the circle
especially
of life.
In certain parts of Portland.
Yeah. Where? Which Fred Meyer was
this? Gateway.
Where is that? Gateway is one of those communities that people reference.
Oh, that's the one out next to, like, Value Village.
But I never know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on 82nd?
I would think.
Yeah.
Isn't that where Value Village is, 82nd?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is where Sarah and I purchased everything for every listener party we've ever done. Mm-hmm. Do we have a budget? No. Well, I'll go to Value Village again. Okay. So it's a gateway to something or other.
Well, the lady felt embarrassed and ashamed. She complained to the company, and Fred Meyer backed its store director. But after the woman wrote about the incident on her blog, Fred Meyer received dozens of complaints. The company now says it regrets the action. Fred Meyer says it'll update its store policy and allow mothers to breastfeed at stores to provide
training. Let me ask you this. Does that mean that if Sarah Dillon were breastfeeding?
So I can't bring my dog into the store who's not going to be touching anything, but women can be squirting their breast milk around food?
Yes, I'm afraid so. Oregon law allows women to breastfeed at any public place.
Okay. All right.
But wait a minute. Fred Meyer is not a public place. It is a privately owned concern.
Hosing down the whole store with it.
Hey, my friend, when her sister was pregnant.
Oh, God, no.
We don't want to hear
that. Got chased around the house.
Chased around.
Okay.
So my question, though, is that if Sarah Dillon were breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not make this me.
If Sarah Dillon were breastfeeding.
Nothing will ever be suckling on me.
A friend of Sarah Dillon.
If Sarah Dillon were. To the unending disappointment of the audience, Sarah. If Sarah Dillon were breastfeeding, does that mean that you could just whip it out and be walking around parading your bosom around the office just with the excuse of, hey, I'm breastfeeding. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay.
Well, when I went to the Willamette Week meeting yesterday, there's a woman who has a baby who breastfeeds who I don't mind because she has this, like, really nice. Yeah, she has, like, this sheath thing.
She's a burka.
Yeah. So you can't tell what's going on. That's very respectful. The baby gets fed, and I don't, you know.
No one has to see her her creamy mouth.
And I'm completely fine with that.
Yes.
Why can't the nanny feed the baby?
I don't know.
Well, that's that.
Okay.
People magazine has released their annual list of those with really good genes. This is this year's 100 Most Beautiful feature, including expectant mother, actress, and a new title, humanitarian Angelina Jolie on the cover. It is the first time a pregnant woman has landed on the front page.
And this is what? I don't understand what this is.
People's 100 Most Beautiful People.
Yeah, whatever.
It includes pictures of Jolie, Brad Pitt, and their two adopted children vacationing in the Midwest.
Is this because she's beautiful on the inside, apparently?
Yeah, the rest is just skin.
Yes.
Others making the world's most beautiful people list are Jessica Alba, Eva Longoria, James Blunt.
I don't know who James Blunt is.
Oh, that's the guy that sings like a girl?
Okay.
You're beautiful.
Is that
it plays like every 5 minutes on VH1.
That's a terrible song.
And he jumps into the water after you, yeah.
That's a terrible song. Sarah and I were at the Buffalo Exchange, and they were playing that.
It plays everywhere, constantly.
Wasn't that song they're playing at Buffalo Exchange, that Your Beautiful song?
It's probably playing on
And
Colo
I pointed
right
out that it was just like one step above
James,
a Hallmark card, James Blunt.
Blunt.
It was terrible. That's the worst song I've ever heard.
My laugh is brilliant.
Yeah!
You
do that really well. Yeah, he's totally
because,
from...
Because it's just nasally and high. Oh, I'd hate it.
He's
I have
completely...
so many friends who keep raving about him.
Well, because that is the legacy of, like, that guy, Jack Johnson, right? And they all sound like him, and he, in turn, just sounds like Dave Matthews. Yeah, and you know who else sounds like that is that Jesse McCartney bastard, that you and your beautiful soul.
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
Like, you would understand what that is.
No, and Laura has this huge, he's so sensitive. Like, I go home and Laura's like clinging to the adolescence by watching MTV Hits. And she's like, look at this Jesse McCartney, he's so, it's like he understands me. You know, and I'm like, sweetie, honey, you can't, no, just turn it off. You know, and it's like some guy, some...
As you're playing video games.
Age. Shut your mouth about my video games. At least my video games pander to people. They're supposed to be pandering to my demographic.
Who was the peer group that you were playing with last night?
Doesn't matter. It was late. They were older.
Than 12?
Older than 12. I did not find the booby doctor, by the way. The booby doctor is not logged on in many moons, and I am poorer for it.
Maybe he's in rehab.
Boopy doctor is not in rehab. What are you talking about? All right. Okay, let's move off of the... What is this? What is this going
to... Ian.
Okay, but is it about breastfeeding?
No.
You're lying to me, aren't you?
I am.
All right. Let's welcome to the show former weapon master Ian Gordon. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rick. How's it going, man?
Oh, you know. Hey, let me ask you this. You got the Xbox. Do you ever moved on to the 360?
No. I don't have that thing they call cash.
Yeah, me. You and me. Then I can't bring myself... Because I still play the regular Xbox so much, I can't bring myself to spend that kind of money on it. Have you played this game called Black?
No, but I heard you talking about it.
Dude.
I'm going to get it as soon as I get some of that stuff they call money.
I would recommend, and I'm just saying this, I would check it out at CD Game Exchange, which is where I got it, because I saw it new, didn't want to pay. And you're not going to get it dirt cheap, because it's a relatively new game, just came out in February. But you can find it used at CD Game Exchange, five locations.
That's where I always go anyway. So.
It's a great thing. The thing about Black is there's no online, there's no Xbox Live. It's against the computer. It's one player only, which kind of sucks.
But if you had some actual friends that would play with you, you would understand that you don't have to go online to do that. So that's what we do. We link them up with like three Xboxes and TVs.
So like sort of like a LAN thing. Yeah, you know, it's a fantastic game. In terms of pure sheer first person shooting action, it is unreal. It's so freaking good. You got to play it. So check it out.
It's a first person shooter action. That breastfeeding stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, my the gateway, first of all, is 102nd Halsey. I got to represent the hood.
Okay.
So, and the second thing is it's not that big a deal to just throw a blanket over your shoulder, right? You don't have to go buy some special thing. You have a baby, that means you have a baby blanket.
Well, you know, here's the thing about these women who breastfeed.
But on the other hand, ready when it pops up, do you want a gift card?
The other hand's got to hold your smokes. The thing is that I'm not opposed to, you know, pregnancy, the babies, the breastfeeding, whatever you got to do, you got to do what you do. But it's like if you're not just not going out of your way to hide it, but you're actively like trying to expose your breastfeeding bosom to as many people as possible, that's just a woman who wants to be the center of attention.
That lady seemed to get the center of attention.
Yeah,
my story that I heard was that they told her to go in the bathroom, and she said, I'm not going to breastfeed my baby somewhere that's dirty like that.
Right. Well,
so, I mean, I can kind of understand both points, but, hey, just cover it up a little bit.
Yeah, it's like, well, we've all, like, I've been on the bus, and it's like, you don't want to, Sarah just threw up a little in her mouth.
No, I'm just flashing back to college when I was working at a restaurant, and this woman, like, whipped out her boob at the table. Like, in a restaurant with, like, people eating around her.
And the weird thing is how you're more grossed out by that than, like, I am, and you have them. You know what I mean? Like,
they're not going to be all milk producing.
Okay. Well, but I don't.
Some guys like that. Like, not baby guys, but like real guys.
Moving on.
Yeah.
I've been on the bus, and it's like women on the bus are the women you don't want to see unclothed in any fashion anyway. Because it's always some bleach blonde chick from Southeast who's fat with her Raiders jacket down to her ankles on the phone with her baby daddy. Putting down like three cigarettes at once, and she's all pockmarked, like something the crows were pecking at.
Things are getting better for me every day.
Totally. As soon as I get my check on the 5th. And she's always the one that you don't want to see nude. She's always the one, out it comes, into the baby's mouth. So, yeah, it's a bad scene. All right, Ian Gordon, thank you, sir.
You got it, Rick. Have a good one.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. There's former Weapon Master Ian Gordon.
He's all defensive because he's a baby daddy.
I know, but you know what? They're a tasteful couple. They are. Ian and Jen.
I think Jen's real pretty.
Jen's smoking. Are you?
Ian lucked out.
Dude, we are surrounded by men who lucked out.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That Jesse guy, of course, me with my wonderful and bread earning.
You most
evolved. I was going to say.
Choose your words carefully.
So I say, my wonderful, beautiful, employed for life, can never be fired, brings home a
responsible adult.
Big bacon, responsible adult wife. Laura, and then that Jesse guy with that hot Jessica girl, right? The placenta guy with the hot wife. That's a weird sentence, but you know what I'm talking about. Scott Daly, his hot wife.
Me with my hot boyfriend?
Yes, I was just going to say that. Ian Gordon, Jen, who's beautiful. It's, you know, it's like we're all, Aaron, all of us. It's like, it's amazing that any of us really even found women, you know, stay in the same room with us. It really is a little stunning. So,
let alone women that will tolerate, like, video games and poker playing.
Totally.
And, like, all that stuff.
I know. It really is just,
You're a lucky man, Rick.
I'm just saying. All right, should we break here?
Yes.
Sure.
We're going to break now. That's what we're going to do. Coming up, we got more from the City Desk. Clergy Watch will be coming up later on. Jen Lane is going to be here. Jim Roop is going to be here to bitch about immigrants, who in turn are bitching about stuff that no one cares about.
And people can't understand.
We can't understand you anyway. Let's see. We'll talk about the 100 least sexy men. We'll take this geek test. All right, and all of that. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on Johnson 970. Thank you.